Well, it's all right. Riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right. If you live the life you please. Well, it's
hello, welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM radio. And today is our six-week anniversary. And Eric, I think it's time we move in together.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could use a roommate.
Yeah. U-Haul.
And of course, the audience.
Yeah. It's has overwhelming.
Been loving the show for
dogs
six
are barking.
Weeks and the support that we have. So.
So sixth show today, and we've had guests, really wonderful guests on so far, and I look forward to talking to some more wonderful people about what they're doing out there in the world, contributing, in a lot of cases, making wonderful contributions to society using dogs. And this week, this show is dedicated to the listeners, as it always is, but we don't have a guest on today. We're going to just be taking calls.
Okay.
All show.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, why not here at the top of the show then? Let's just give out the phone numbers right away so that people can call in anytime during the show today.
Sounds good.
So if you want to call in, we'd love to hear from you at 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-5569.
Excellent. Thank you. So at any time now, please feel free to call in. I have some wonderful gift certificates to give away to callers. I'm going to give away a gift certificate to Urban Beast, which is a store right across from REI, downtown Seattle. Wonderful products for cats and dogs. Lots of locally made products, leashes and beds and bowls and really excellent food, like my favorite dry food on the market, Origin and Acana. They have that at Urban Beast. So if you have a question about your dog, whether it be training or behavior or food related, feel free to give us a call, and the first caller will mail you a gift certificate to Urban Beast.
And will you throw in one of those very cool Dog Talk Show stickers?
Absolutely. Cool. We have some great weatherproof, waterproof, oval-shaped stickers that are great for cars with our logo on it.
For folks that can't see us on their radio, I think you got to adjust the dials for that. But
right.
For those of you that can't see it, the logo is a really cool logo. It's the dog. He's got a microphone and he's got the headphones. So, and is this up on the website yet, by the way?
Yes. The website is under construction, but there is a temporary page with the listening information and a sample of the logo, and that logo on the website is very much what the sticker looks like. The sticker's a little brighter,
very
but
cool.
Pretty
and,
much the
and
same.
And the website is dogtalkshow.com, right?
Yes, dogtalkshow.com.
Right on.
So I've like I said, had the opportunity to talk to some really wonderful people so far, and but I figured we'd take the show to let the listeners get to know me a little bit. And what better way to get to know me than by asking me questions, especially training behavior and food related. But I'd be happy to talk to anyone with a dog about pretty much anything dog related. So feel free to call in. Like I said, this show is just about talking to you out there. I would love to talk to anyone listening right now. And, you know, I'm not just here to talk to myself.
Well, if worse comes to worse, we do have a clip of an actual dog talking that we can go to at some point if you want to hear that.
A clip of a dog talking?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So.
All right. Well, we'll save that.
We'll save it.
Yeah. So I do have, though, some things to talk about that I have not gotten to in past shows because they've been filled with wonderful interviews. And I've talked on a few shows now about the puppy mill issue. And I just wanted to clarify some things about that and give some details. I actually had a woman call me last week who's talking about thinking about getting a puppy in a couple months. And I'm so glad that she called because she was all set to get a puppy from a breeder that they said that they were a really great breeder. They got the website. She found the website online. She Googled and she was looking for a miniature or toy poodle. And so she went online and did some research online and found this nice website of mini and toy poodles and thought, okay, well, and I think she knew some people who had gotten dogs from this source and seemed like it was a good source to get a dog from. And when I talked to her, I asked, I'm always suspicious about finding information online because they can be very deceptive. And I asked her where they would be shipping the dog from. And she said Iowa, which is one of the states where there are a lot of puppy mills located. And then, so that was a huge red flag for me. And then the other thing was that she had talked to somebody who was like a middle person between her and the breeder, which is basically the facility, which typically, you know, independent breeders who are really good, responsible breeders handle the placement of their dogs themselves. There's usually not a middle person. If there's a middle person, it means that the establishment is so big. And so I was so glad that she called and talked to me because she didn't have any idea that those dogs were from puppy mills because they don't say that they are. And that's the thing, right, is that they never say that they are.
Yeah, they wouldn't really advertise that.
No, and they actually lie about, you know, the dogs are, you know, from a family establishment, or, you know, that they're healthy dogs and really quality breeding. And you just really need to be careful about that stuff. And so I encouraged her to get in touch with some local poodle clubs. There's lots of probably for every breed imaginable. There's a local club like Poodle Club of Puget Sound, or, you know, Poodles of Northwest, you know, Northwest Poodle Club, or, you know, something to that effect, to get in touch with the poodle people, because they're going to know, you know, who are the good breeders, what to look out for, maybe to give even some local recommendations to where they, you know, she can go on site and actually meet the puppies, meet at least the mom of the dogs, and ideally the dad too, to check out temperament, to make sure that the dogs are being raised in a clean environment, and that they have a place to go potty that's separate from where they play and sleep and eat. And so that's just something, I think that is so, I mean, this is how they do business, is they sort of trick people to thinking that it's a quality source, and it's just supporting this industry that we really don't need, because we do not need these huge warehouses just churning out puppies when we have shelters overflowing.
So talk to your local poodle club.
Talk to your local poodle club.
I just wanted a chance
to
say poodle.
Call the poodle people. They'll hook you up.
That's right.
And that's true with any breed. So if you're looking for a, you know, Newfie or a Scottish Terrier or, you know, whatever, I think those breed clubs or pure breed rescue organizations locally are really great resources for people to get in touch with and just get a referral. Maybe the breeder is going to be out of state, but they have a direct contact with them and they know that it's a quality breeder. So just so important, because this puppy mill deal has just got to stop, and where it stops is stopping the demand for them.
Seems like there's a lot of, if you don't mind me interjecting, a lot of rescue organizations for almost every kind of breed that's out there as well.
Yes. Yeah, so there's a Seattle Pure Breed Rescue, and they have sort of offshoots for specific breeds. And that's a great way to get a dog that needs a home. That's, you know, if you're interested in a pure breed dog, and then especially if you're, you know, open to getting a dog that's maybe a little bit older, still in their younger years, or maybe you're looking for an adult dog that's of a specific breed, that's a great way to go to.
And you can actually teach an old dog new
tricks. Yes, you can. Absolutely. I met with someone a few weeks ago who had just adopted an 8-year-old lab. And we, you know, we're just working on what are the best ways to get the dog adjusted to the new pack. And there's just a lot to know about doing that successfully. Older dogs tend to learn slower, but they are absolutely still receptive to learning. I mean, it would be like me saying now that I have gotten to a certain age and I am no longer able to learn any new information.
Right. Which so isn't true at all.
It's not true. I'm still very open to learning.
Very
so,
good.
So, yeah, the day you stop learning is the day you die, right? And so, one, this is something that I've really wanted to clarify, especially since our first show. I had on Dan Paul, the Washington State Director of the Humane Society of the United States. And we were talking about this legislation that's going through or trying to be passed, and I'm really urging people to encourage that. There is something that I want to clarify about that that I actually learned about when I was at the Seattle Dog Show talking to some of the breeders there, is that there are parts to the legislation or some of the legislation that's up there that actually negatively affects responsible, good breeders. So that's something that I think we need to be careful about, that, yes, we need to, you know, it's good to put some legislation in place to help the law enforcement follow through and I would say increase the penalty for these types of establishments. But we don't want this legislation to sort of overflow, spill over into responsible breeders who really are doing a good job to preserve breeds. That we don't want to kind of get in their way in a way that makes their job harder as well. So that's something.
Absolutely.
As you send your legislators emails, there's a really easy way to do that through the Humane Society of the United States website, which is hsus.org, urging that, you know, supporting legislation, but to please, ask people to really listen to the input from breeders and from kennel clubs so that we can find a way to deal with the issue of puppy mills without negatively affecting the breeders who are doing a really good job with the breed. So, we have a caller on line one. We have Jane in Seattle. Hi, Jane, you're on the air.
Hi, Julie. How you doing?
Good.
So, we actually met at the dog show, so...
Oh, we did. Excellent.
Yeah, probably one of the many that stopped by your booth.
Oh, yes. So you have a question?
I do. I have a 3-year-old beagle.
Okay.
And she is the sweetest beagle until I ask her to do something. And she has aggression towards basically authority.
Oh.
I don't ever have to worry about her with other people or children. Do you have... some input for that?
Absolutely. I have some more questions for you first, though.
Okay.
So what does the aggression look like?
Curling of the lip and biting.
Okay, so she'll snap?
Yes, and very much so.
And what? So this is like if you're asking her to do just a basic obedience command against her will?
Like if she's, let's say, on the couch and I want her off, and I pick her up, or we've been out for a walk, and she's wet, and I towel her off. She's 3 years old and never had a bath because of that. I think I would probably lose my right arm if that were to happen.
Okay. So it's the two situations that you've described are definitely sort of textbook situations that are very that – involve a lot about leadership and dominance. So
uh-huh.
Trying to move a dog off of a couch or a bed is a really good way to test a dog to see if they accept your authority or not, because they're occupying a higher space and it's also where they sleep. So it's a very valuable space to occupy. And so if you're telling her to move and she's saying, "Who are you to tell me to move?" then she's going to communicate for you to back off by using aggression. Which is, you know, a natural way for dogs to communicate, knock it off. The problem,
right.
The problem is that, you know, it's not an acceptable behavior, especially towards other, you know, from dog to person. So you'd want to establish with her that she needs to listen to you, but in a context where there's structure and where you can balance establishing with her that she needs to listen, but also finding ways to motivate her so that she does see that there's something in it for her.
Okay.
So I would start with basic obedience and really cleaning up the sit, the down, the wait, the stay, the come here. And actually off is one of the basic obedience commands, which means all four paws on the ground. So
okay.
It could be off of me or off of the couch or off of the counter in some cases. And so there's a certain structure that you can put into place as you're working with her to establish with her in a way that's going to be keeping her brain engaged and making her think.
Okay.
And I can talk more. I'd be happy to talk more about, you know, what that actually looks like and how to work through that. You know, we could get in touch outside of the show and I could give you more details about that for sure. It's a pretty, beagles are notorious for that kind of stubborn and sometimes aggressive behavior.
Right. It shocked me because I didn't think beagles were aggressive. So. Mm.
Well, you know, any breed can, you know.
Right.
But the thing is that it's, you know, aggression is this, you know, kind of term that people balk at. But, you know, aggression is also a natural way for dogs to communicate. But there's just times when it's not appropriate. The other thing, too, with the wiping of paws and grooming, that's actually a very socially loaded interaction as well. So dominance, you know, dominant, more submissive dogs will hold still while a dominant dog, like, for instance, sniffs them in a greeting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to make her hold still, you know, wipe her paws, cut her nails, clean her ears, give her a bath, whatever, and she's thinking, then that's sort of a, you know, kind of a heated interaction as well that is sort of has a lot of leadership ties to it, too. And, you know, there's ways to work through it for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good to know that it's I'm not going crazy and that it's a workable solution.
No, it is definitely workable, and she is 3, so, you know, she's not a puppy anymore, but a 3-year-old's better than an 8-year-old, so.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. All righty, well, I'll be in touch with you later on down the road then.
Okay. Sounds great.
Appreciate your help.
And I can, you're the first caller, so you win a gift certificate to Urban Beast.
Oh, right on. Okay, that sounds great.
Urban Beast is right across from REI, downtown Seattle.
I know exactly where it is.
Okay, I'm going to send you back to Deb, and she'll get your mailing address, and I'll get that in the mail to you.
Okay, great. Thanks very much, Jane.
Thanks, Jane. Okay, we're going to head off to a break, and then when we come back, we'll take another call from Gail, who's calling from the East Coast. We'll be back with the Dog Talk Show. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
When was the last time you caught your dog eating a stalk of wheat or corn? Evolved as carnivores, your dog is designed for protein in the form of fresh meat, not the grains that fill conventional pet foods. Bursting with fresh, free-run chicken and turkey, wild-caught fish, local fruits, vegetables, and botanicals, Origin mirrors the foods nature intended your dog to eat. Family-owned and operated since 1985, the Origin mission is clear. Biologically appropriate foods from fresh, never-frozen, regional ingredients. Origin Pet Foods, the diet nature intended.
Urban Beast. Fresh, modern, fun. Seattle's destination for all your pet needs. Located in the South Lake Union neighborhood at 217 Yale Avenue North, directly across from the REI flagship store. Urban Beasts features unique accessories such as toys, beds, collars, leashes, and more. They have a great assortment of healthy food and yummy treats for the pets you love. Open 7 days a week and offering free parking in the Alley 24 garage. Come see what the Beast is all about.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Monday, March 30th, we'll talk with real people who've been overweight for years and who've got the issue under control. Women who've lost large amounts of weight and, more importantly, kept it off.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, consultation. I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's Dog Behavior Training and Nutrition Specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Time for something different. Time for Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150 AM. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. And today is our six-week anniversary. So we are just dedicating this show to listeners and taking calls. And every segment will be hopefully giving out some more gift certificates to Urban Beast, which is right across from REI downtown.
What's 6 weeks in dog years anyway?
6 weeks. And that's a good question. You know,
we'll figure that out.
It's actually I'll have to refresh my memory on that. There's actually some really intense, compacted, developmental stages that happen within the first 12 weeks, and then even, you know, especially 12 weeks. There's a lot of really intense and specific stages that happen developmentally. So 6 weeks, I think, is within the, or just at the beginning of the fear imprint stage,
uh-oh,
which is where they learn. Well, it serves its purpose in nature.
Right, right. I'm just hoping the show doesn't have to go into the fear imprint stage.
No.
Good.
It might, though. It might. So, yeah, so we have another caller. We have Gail on line two, and we'll go to her right now. Hi, Gail.
Hi, Julie.
Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. It says you're calling from the East Coast.
Yes, I am.
Whereabouts?
It probably surprises you. I'm calling so far away, but my daughter was in Seattle, and she met you at the booth.
Oh.
I was talking to her, and she suggested I call you with this question.
Oh, wonderful. So what's your question?
Well, I have a terrier mix. And she's older and is starting to have incontinence problems. And it's not something that happens all the time. And sometimes it's just a little leak, and sometimes it is a big leak.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like I could put her outside every half an hour, and I'd still miss an accident.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want her to leave me for as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just accepting that this is part of her aging process.
Mm-hmm.
My question is my concern is more about if this is affecting her and the quality of life for her. I don't know if this is something that dogs can be embarrassed about, or does she notice it or whatever, but I just want to make sure that the quality of her life is still good, and I hopefully will know when the time is right to make some different choices.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious to hear what any suggestions that you might have for me to watch for.
Yeah. It's a great question, and I really appreciate the thought that you're putting into this, you know, as she's continues to get older. I would say I've heard that some dogs, first of all, you've taken her to the vet, correct?
Yes, I have. I've had blood tests taken, and we're watching her kidney function, which is starting to elevate.
Mm-hmm.
So the vet and I are both aware that this is, her kidneys are starting to fail a little bit. And the vet also gave me some commercial dog foods that I'm choosing not to buy. And the vet gave me a recipe to make the food for my dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started that about a week and a half ago.
Okay. And what did she say regarding the incontinence? Is it just that her muscles are starting to degenerate and she just can't hold it, or is it a nervous system thing? Or
as I remember, the vet suggested and actually gave me medication for this, that it's a control issue.
Okay.
She's just not able to constrict the opening as well as when she was younger.
Okay. So the most important thing with this, I mean, you know, and you can tell to watch her to see if she, you know, sulks or shows any sort of reaction to it. But the main thing to do is to not make a big deal out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly to not scold her for it, which, you know, it doesn't sound like you're doing or would think of doing. But even sort of making a big deal about it can sort of make it weird for the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dog will anticipate your reaction,
mm-hmm.
which you can, so you can actually cause the dog to be a little neurotic about it just based off of your consistent reaction. It's kind of like when, you know, on the opposite end of things, when people have puppies and the puppies will inevitably have accidents in the house as they're learning to go outside. What happens is sometimes people will, you know, address the accident or scold the behavior or scold the accident, you know, minutes or even hours after it's happened, and it's just too late because so what can happen is that the dogs will, you know, go to the bathroom in the house and then anticipate when the owners come home. They'll sort of sulk around and put their ears back, and then people always say, oh, you know, she knows she shouldn't do that. And and it's like, well, you're actually just kind of conditioning her to expect that reaction from you, but it's not stopping her from doing it in the moment because dogs just don't think that way. Now, in this situation, it's different because she doesn't have control. It's not a choice for her.
Yes.
So, but you could still, you know, condition a response from her just by, you know, reacting to it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't even, I mean, I wouldn't even recommend trying to comfort her
mm-hmm.
because dogs don't really get comforting. Comforting's like praising, so...
Oh.
You know, you just kind of want to like, hey, no big deal. You're, you know, how old is she again?
She'll be 16 in a couple of months.
So she's 16 years old, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
Mm-hmm.
And you're, you know, gracious enough to just, you know, keep the bigger picture in mind and really be mindful about whether, you know, that she's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just being willing to probably get your carpets cleaned on a more regular basis and...
Yes.
And, you know, put some padding underneath her, you know, so that she can just do what she needs to do. And then I would just kind of, you know, play it off like no big deal. Like you don't even notice it.
And I do want to also acknowledge that being a small dog,
yeah.
that when she does have accidents, it's not a big
yes.
amount.
Yeah, it's not a huge
volume. And I appreciate that there are times when the dog is big and an accident does cause more of a
yes.
concern than, you know, a few tablespoons of urine.
Yes.
And also something that I really appreciate is how my dog and I have been together, just the two of us, for 10 years, and we're very close. And I know she's very in tune to me,
mm-hmm.
and so I appreciate that because she's so sensitive to me and basically watches me all the time, that it is important for me to hang out with her and just, you know, respect that this is part of her age process and just do the best I can to give her a good quality life until it's time for her to you know, to go, to mm-hmm. leave me and leave
yeah.
this world.
Yep.
So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I'm not holding on to her to a point where it's not comfortable for her. But it sounds like we still have some time together, and I really appreciate your help in this question.
Yeah, you're welcome. Have you noticed a difference since changing the food?
Oh, absolutely. What is different is the amount of water that she's drinking. She has decreased the amount of water by at least half.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just assuming that her body is adjusting to a decreased requirement for water when she was eating kibble.
Mm-hmm. Well, the food itself has more moisture.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're making the food, it's going to have more moisture in it than like a dry kibble. And then
it's
also going to be much easier for her body to digest.
Yes.
So you're helping out her digestive tract
quite
a bit.
I've noticed that the amount of her bowel movements are much less, too. So her body definitely does not have to digest and maneuver through all the extra bulk.
Yeah, and the excessive processing too, or the heavy processing.
Yes, and in addition to the diet that the vet gave me, I did have to add a multivitamin supplement and also some fish oil and some calcium carbonate to balance out the meal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well thank
great.
You so much, Julie. Good luck.
You're welcome.
I wish you well out there on the West Coast.
Thank you. Say hi to the East Coast for me. That's where I'm from.
Oh, well, the Atlantic Ocean. There's nothing like it.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Thanks again, Julie.
You're welcome. Bye.
And I want to quickly give out our phone numbers again for people that want to call in and talk to you, Julie. They can do at 425-373-5527. Again, that's 425-373-5527 or toll free in Western Washington at 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-5569.
All right. Thanks, Eric. We're going to take a break and we'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
The Barking Lounge is Seattle's premier dog daycare and overnight boarding facility. With 24-hour supervision dedicated to the health and well-being of your pooch, it's no wonder why the Barking Lounge was voted best doggy daycare in Western Washington. New customers can mention this ad and receive a free temperament test and day of play care, a $44 value. Offer available for a limited time, valid for new customers only, and has no cash value.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animals Wednesdays from noon to 1 p.m. We take your calls and ask your animal companions the things you most want to know from them. Talk about anything, even talk with deceased animals. If you love your animals and want to hear the wonderful and very often surprising things animals say, be sure to listen to Talk With Your Animals Wednesdays at noon, the show both you and your pets are going to love. Talk With Your Animals with me, Joy Turner.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Urban Beast. Fresh, modern, fun. Seattle's destination for all your pet needs. Located in the South Lake Union neighborhood at 217 Yale Avenue North, directly across from the REI flagship store. Urban Beast features unique accessories such as toys, beds, collars, leashes, and more. They have a great assortment of healthy food and yummy treats for the pets you love. Open 7 days a week and offering free parking in the Alley 24 garage. Come see what the Beast is all about.
Get a grip on life with Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150 AM. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we have a little clip for you of a dog saying something, actually saying something. So we're going to roll that.
Yes. Well, it is the Dog Talk Show, so why not have an actual dog talking?
Yeah.
He says, I love you.
All right, Odie will say, I love you.
Here. Odie, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Odie, I love you.
Man. Wonder what kind of dog that was.
Clearly, Odie's been fixed.
Woo, yeah.
He's got a high-pitched voice.
Man, that's the most painful I love you I think I've ever heard, but very cute. Okay, so we have Carrie on line one. Hi, Carrie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Julie.
So, do you have a question?
I do.
Okay.
I have a little Papillon Chihuahua that I have been feeding. We rescued him about a year ago, and we've been feeding him Darwin's raw diet.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, we had an older dog. We always supplemented the Darwin's with our older dog, but I'm wondering if a two-year-old dog needs supplements as well, like flaxseed oil or something for his age.
Yes, a good question. And I would definitely, definitely recommend supplementing, certainly with a fatty acid supplement, so like a flaxseed oil or salmon oil or something like that, so that he gets the fatty acids. It's really good for skin and coat and also functioning of for internal organs.
And how much do you know, how do you know how much to give them of that?
It should, well,
if he only weighs 10 pounds.
Yeah. Well, I use salmon oil.
Okay.
And the salmon oil is, there's actually a local one that I like called, made by Wildside Salmon. And it's a, comes in a pump bottle, so it's sort of measured out with pumps. And I just give, so I have a little dachshund who's about 3 pounds heavier than your little Chihuahua Papillon. And I give her about a pump a day. But it'll tell you on the, it'll usually tell you on the bottle per weight, you know, roughly how much to give.
Oh,
but,
so you get it in like a dog food store?
Yes, yeah. Any, you know, I always recommend a smaller, locally owned, more natural pet food and supply store. And they will all have some sort of fatty acid supplement. I prefer salmon oil over flax oil because it's of animal origin, which is more natural for the dogs. But it's a great supplement, and it's, you know, keeps the skin and coat healthy, which, you know, is great for health, but it also has benefits in that it helps prevent fleas, because fleas do not like oily skin. Fleas like dry, flaky skin. So, yeah, fatty acid supplement, enzyme supplement is a great thing to do, enzyme and probiotics, just to kind of help out, you know, keep the digestive tract healthy. And pumpkin is a, you know, canned pumpkin or baby food squash is also a good thing to give, especially if he gets an upset stomach. So, but yeah, the raw food, you don't have to supplement as much because the less of the nutrition is taken out because it's much less processing. So, but I do still recommend it.
And then I have one more question.
Yes.
We have a little discussion in our house going at how often should we be bathing our dog? Because it seems like more than once a month is too much. But what do you think?
I would agree with that. It seems to, I've heard that it's strips the skin of its natural oils. And, you know, dogs naturally don't really, I mean, they groom themselves, but they don't take baths or showers. So, I mean, I would really just say as needed. And try to do it. I wouldn't do it more than once a month. And the fatty acid supplement will actually help his skin recover from that because you're giving him some moisture from the inside out. So
that's great. I just love your new show. We listen every week. And so thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Carrie. We're going to send you back to Deb for your mailing address and email address, and we'll get you a gift certificate to Urban Beast.
Ooh. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, great questions. We have Lisa from Seattle with a comment on line two. We'll take that call. Lisa, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Julie.
Yes.
Yes, Lisa, Max's mom.
Oh, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to commend you for the great job that you did with Max. He is just so different now when we walk him, and my husband just really enjoys taking him out, and Max is really loving it.
Oh, that's so good to hear. Now, this is a, you, your dogs were the first dogs that I worked with on training them how to walk on a treadmill, which
that's
was,
right.
Which was really, really fun for me. It was, I had seen it done, but I had not actually had the opportunity to do it, and it was really interesting to do that, and also to see how the two dogs sort of went through their own little journey in learning how to do that, too. So how's that going with the treadmill?
Really good. Actually, Maki looks forward to it. I do it in the evening.
Uh-huh.
And Max is up to 2.5 minutes.
Nice.
While Maki's 10.
Yeah. Wow. Good. Yeah. And that's actually long for him. So that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Well, so, thank you so much for the call. And I'm going to send you over to Deb and she'll get your address and we'll get you out a gift certificate to Urban Beast.
Well, thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
And one more time with those numbers, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527 or toll-free within Western Washington at 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-5569.
Thank you, Eric. You know, that call about Max was actually was kind of leads me to something that I wanted to mention today. And I wanted to talk a little bit about walking on leash because a lot of people have a hard time with their dogs when walking on leash, where the dogs might get along really well with other dogs off leash, but for some reason on leash tend to act really aggressively. And it's something that is really easily self-reinforced, and people can, you know, the dogs can kind of get into a habit and almost be triggered by other dogs and just do this, you know, big aggressive display. And it's, you know, hard to kind of figure out how to manage that. And it's actually something that is very, very workable and pretty common, actually. But it's important that when you're walking with your dog on leash and that you're out and about with your dog, most places, unless you're in an actual off-leash dog park, are not off-leash areas. And I love walking with my dogs off-leash in the woods as much as anybody. I used to live in Vermont, and that's something that I miss about not living in the city, was that accessibility. I just love walking through the woods and just being outside with my dogs off-leash. It's excellent. But it's not, you know, that was out in the country where it was okay. And, you know, for one, it's illegal in Seattle to have your dog off leash in a non-off leash area. I also find it to be a bit of an intrusion when I'm walking my dogs, oh, let's say in the Arboretum, and we're walking on leash, and then people have their dogs running around off leash and see us coming and don't, you know, grab their dogs and put them on leash. And then it's sort of up to us to deal with the dogs, which to me is just bad etiquette. So in a little inconsiderate, because I think a common mistake that people, you know, people will say, oh, my dog's friendly, but they're not, you know, that's only half of the equation. And they're not taking into account that perhaps, you know, perhaps the other dogs that are on leash aren't friendly, in which case it might be dangerous for their dog who's off leash to run up over to him. So just a kind of a little mention of that to, you know, really be conscientious of other people and be respectful of other people and keeping your dogs under control and on leash unless you're in an off leash designated area. So we're going to take a break and come back. We have a few more callers that we will talk to, and we'll be back with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist, www.sensitivedog.com.
When was the last time you caught your dog eating a stalk of wheat or corn? Evolved as carnivores, your dog is designed for protein in the form of fresh meat, not the grains that fill conventional pet foods. Bursting with fresh, free-run chicken and turkey, wild-caught fish, local fruits, vegetables, and botanicals, Origin mirrors the foods nature intended your dog to eat. Family-owned and operated since 1985, the Origin mission is clear. Biologically appropriate foods from fresh, never frozen, regional ingredients. Origin Pet Foods, the diet nature intended.
Commune with the Pop Oracle on the Radio 8 Ball Show. I'm Andras Jones, the host of the Radio 8 Ball Show, where we answer your questions by picking songs at random and interpreting them as the answers, like picking musical tarot cards. That's the Radio 8 Ball Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Don't miss the Radio 8 Ball Show, Fridays at noon, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150.
The Barking Lounge is Seattle's premier dog daycare and overnight boarding facility. With 24-hour supervision dedicated to the health and well-being of your pooch, it's no wonder why the Barking Lounge was voted best doggy daycare in Western Washington. New customers can mention this ad and receive a free temperament test and day of play care, a $44 value. Offer available for a limited time, valid for new customers only, and has no cash value.
Get your smile on with Alternative Talk 1150.
All right, welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. And we are taking calls today. So if you have a call for me, a question about your dog, behavior maybe that you'd like to get that answered, give us a call, 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So we've had some great questions so far today. Have a new, looks like we have another caller on line one. We have Sue on line one. Hi, Sue, you're on the air.
Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Love your show. I picked up your card at the dog show.
Oh, great.
And I have a question. We are a family of three dogs, two large dogs, and the new addition is a little cheap pug, and he's called Danny, but he's also known as Hellboy. And the reason is he just seems to want to eat everything in sight. When he's outside, it's rocks and sticks, and when he's inside, it's drywall and cell phones and remote control and things that you wouldn't think that a dog would go for, but he just seems to get into things.
Mm-hmm. How old is he again?
He's almost a year.
Okay, and how long have you had him?
Since he was about 12 weeks.
Okay, and has he done this pretty much from the start, or have you noticed this come on?
No, this has been pretty much from the start. He, whenever we would take him for rocks, he would immediately go for the leaf or the rock and chew it and, you know, swallow it. And anything that was out, we got him in the summer, and we were up in the San Juan Islands, and we would go out kind of walking in the woods. And so he was just into everything that he could find on the forest floor.
Yeah. Now, does he have a digestive reaction to the things that he eats? Like, does he throw it up, or does he get diarrhea?
He doesn't, surprisingly. Although it's kind of hard to discuss, but he has had a problem once in a while because he'll eat things like parts of rugs and things, and when he's trying to go to the bathroom, it'll kind of get hung up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He'll sort of look at us like, can you help me out here?
Right.
And so sometimes things will come out that way, but he doesn't throw up. He's had diarrhea on occasion, but that was more when he was younger. Now he seems to be fine, and I'm, you know, expecting something untoward to happen here.
Right.
We really try and keep an eye on him, and we're crating him now at night so that he doesn't have free rent of the house.
Yeah.
And putting things up, kind of baby-proofing.
Yeah.
But, I buy him bones all the time and chew toys.
Mm-hmm.
He also thinks that he's the head of the house, and the two other dogs, one's a female about 12, and she just doesn't have anything to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
The other is a golden retriever, and he's very passive and loving, and he lets the little guy walk all over him. So we're trying to make sure he doesn't think he's our leader, too.
Right. So a couple things on this. So first of all, you said that he's a rescue. Did you get him from a shelter or from a rescue group?
Oh, no, he's not a rescue.
He's not a rescue. Okay, sorry.
No, we got him from a breeder.
Okay.
And they're reputable, and we met them, and our daughter also has a dog from them and hasn't had the same chewing. Well, I guess actually they have had some chewing problems with their dog also.
Okay. Well, this can be a result of a few different things. One, you know, it's obviously a really natural urge that dogs have to chew things, but it sounds like his is definitely excessive. Would you say it's obsessive? Or is he just kind of into everything?
He's kind of into everything. He's it's sort of his personality. I mean, he's on red alert. He watches television and barks at it. And whereas our other dogs, you know, might notice something, but he actually thinks there's, you know, it's not a sound thing. He'll actually see a person on the television and thinks that, you know, it's real. And he's constantly watching what everybody's doing and, you know, a little on the hyperactive, you know, emotional side, whereas the other two dogs are much more mellow.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been a bit of a surprise and a lot of joy and laughter and fun. I mean, he's cute as a Bugsy, or he's really sweet, but
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm on my third cell phone case and my second phone.
Yeah.
You know, the universal remote was about like the last straw.
Yeah. One thing that can really help with that, I mean, it sounds like you're giving him a ton of options for things to chew on that are appropriate. So keep doing that and keep getting creative with that. You know, bones, bully sticks are a really great chew, you know, alternative to an actual bone.
Okay.
And that is not rawhide. So I don't recommend that you feed any sort of rawhide product because it's not digestible. And
okay.
That can actually expand in the digestive tract and cause blockages.
Okay.
But the bully sticks are made out of muscle and connective tissue, and they're pretty dense. So, especially if you get some of the brands are thicker than others, like they have some really like mega chews. And so, if he's a really vigorous chewer, get a really thick, fat one. Where do you live in Seattle?
I'm on the east side.
On the east side. Okay. There's I think a bunch of. Are you in Redmond or Bellevue or Issaquah?
Woodinville and
okay.
Redmond. And
okay. So there's some, I know that there's some stores, smaller, more natural stores in Redmond and Woodinville. I think there's a feed store in Woodinville that carries them too. But they're called bully sticks. Those are great. You can always take like get a Kong and stuff it and with something and freeze it. And it takes him a while to work that out.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And then, you know, the other thing is that it's, you know, part of it's an educational thing. So maybe, you know, I would definitely, if you haven't done any sort of formal training, definitely do that because he sounds like he is a busy boy.
Yes, he is.
And so he's really going to need, you know, stuff to do and to keep active. And something that happens a lot is if dogs, especially really high energy, very smart dogs, if they don't have a constructive outlet for that energy, they will find destructive outlets.
Okay, and that's a really good thought.
Chewing is one of those ways to release energy, pent-up energy. So, you know, exercising him as much as you can, bringing him on walks, but, you know, in addition to the physical activity, making him think a little bit, because that's something that is often missing or not present enough for dogs is... any mental challenge, having to troubleshoot things, having to think about things, you know, we tend to just, you know, love the dogs like crazy and give them tons of affection and play with them and, you know, maybe give them some exercise and take good care of them health-wise, but we don't meet their mental, intellectual needs. So
that's great. I hadn't thought of that.
Working with him, give him jobs to do, take him to training classes, obedience classes,
okay.
Do agility with him. You know, those kinds of things, agility is like a, you know, obstacle course. Did you see the agility trials happening at the dog show?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so they're, you know, having to go over jumps and through tunnels and over A-frames and weave poles and just, you know, mental and physical exercise in addition to the structure of obedience training, which will give you tools to work with him, you know, like teaching him leave it. So that he understands, you know, leave it means take your attention away from whatever it is I'm asking you to leave. So
okay.
Kind of a combination of all those things. And if you have more questions after this, definitely get in touch with me. My website is www.sensitivedog.com.
Okay, great.
Okay?
Thanks so much. I
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It.
Yeah, I hope you can
okay.
listen again.
Oh, I will.
Okay,
thank you.
Great. Thanks.
Bye.
All righty. Well, we are at the end of the hour already. I wish we could just stay here all day and talk to you. That was great. Thanks for your calls. And we'll look forward to being with you again next week, Wednesday, 2 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show. And if you have any questions that you want answered, don't hesitate to get in touch with me. My website is www.sensitivedog.com. And my email is julie@sensitivedog.com. I do in-home training and behavior evaluations, as well as group classes and two-week intensive training program. So I am certainly available to you during the week in between shows. So it's looking like it's drying up out there. Go outside and do something fun with your dog, and we'll be with you again next week. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150 AM.